Hello everyone, Richard Lewis here with another video, and I delayed making this one for a while because obviously there's a tournament going on that it relates to, and I don't like to interfere with other people's tournaments and stuff. Obviously, I work for a company that runs tournaments, and it's very hard to balance critique of the game I love in a broader context and sort of not step over the boundaries of professional courtesy. So obviously, I'm kind of talking a little bit about IEM Oakland, but it's about the announcement that ESEA has launched its own LAN anti-cheat. And Sam will bring this up now in case you missed it. So this happened about 6 days ago. And, the bottom line is this is a direct response to a lot of the allegations that are going on, that a lot of people out there think professional players are cheating. And this is another example of reactions by this kind of MTG conglomerate to problems that I don't even think we've really accepted as being a reality. So I'll just read you the post that they put out. It's pretty short. It says, as prize pools continue to grow and event organizers have begun to shift their focus to major LAN events, more and more speculation has been vocalized about the possibility that cheating could be occurring on LAN. Event organizers such as DreamHack and ESL have put in place stringent guidelines that are followed to help ensure that cheating is not taking place. And today we are adding another layer of protection on top of the existing protocols. In order to combat the possibility of a player using a cheat on LAN, ESEA will launch a fully functional anti-cheat designed and tailored to the LAN environment. So let's just assess that first paragraph there and see if it's really true. I would say that kind of the idea of stringent guidelines, I think it's greatly overplayed. We've all seen examples of players with their phones in the booth. We've all seen examples of players, seemingly plugging or switching out peripherals. We can't even enforce the fucking headwear rule. Let's be honest. This right now, as of recording this, we're having another debate about players wearing hats when there's no soundproof booths. And it's just simple. If you can wear headwear, you wear headwear. If you can't, you don't. That's it. And you just enforce it. You say, look, take your hat off. That's it. This is the level we have to be at to ensure that people can't hear and gain advantages. If we can't enforce a rule as simple as whether or not you're allowed to wear a hat, I obviously doubt this idea of stringent guidelines being enforced. And most pro players will tell you, if you ask them privately, that they think it's a little bit of a joke, actually, that they've seen plenty of examples of people coming at the booth with multiple phones, equipment, just all sorts of shit. Anyway, over the last decade, ESEA has developed the industry-leading anti-cheat for online matches, and now the same technology will be accessible at LAN events. With the addition of the anti-cheat client to the existing protocols in place, we are confident that the community can rest assured that players are not cheating at their favorite tournaments, and that all matches are being played on an even playing field. Well, again, let's not pretend ESEA has caught all cheats. This is, again, a little bit disingenuous in its wording. ESEA probably is one of the leading anti-cheats in the industry, if not the leading anti-cheat. It may even be more effective than VAC in and of itself. It's certainly caught some high-profile people more than other anti-cheats. And it's generally widely regarded as a solid product. But the idea that just by virtue of having this, means that you can be confident that it's a level playing field. While I'm not hysterical about this whole idea of cheating, as you guys know, I don't think necessarily that we should say, oh, well, they've got that running. They've got that little black and green box. So it's all fine. It's all fine. I think when you start getting complacent like that, I think that's when problems are really going to arise. And it says, over the last year, we've worked diligently to listen to both players and organizer feedback for LAN events and work with ESL to perform a technical test of the anti-cheat client at ESL One New York in October 2016. Remember that point, because we're going to bring that back. The first event to officially use the ESEA LAN anti-cheat client will be IEM Oakland and the LAN qualifier, the iBuyPower Masters, starting this weekend in Los Angeles, California. The ESEA LAN anti-cheat client will not be exclusive only to ESEA events. Any organizer that is able to meet the basic requirements, which will be made public after IEM Oakland, so we don't know what those requirements are going to be, can apply to use the technology. Our goal is to help ensure that Counter-Strike events, regardless of the organizer, can guarantee to be cheat-free. So this, to me, you know, it's a little bit strange because they're saying they've done a technical test at ESL One New York. We don't know what that technical test you know, included. Here's what I was told by my sources privately, that they did just run it. They did just run it in the games and that it was actually active in matches. Now, that, maybe that's true, maybe that's not, but you're going to see why that's strange in just a moment. Now, the other point I want to make is that, you know, nobody has proven to me that cheating at LAN is an issue. When you come out and try and fix a problem that nobody really knows exists, that to me is kind of problematic in and of itself because there's an implication there. And it reminds me a lot of what ESL did with the drugs testing. We had one person come out and in an interview say, yeah, all my team were on Adderall. And all of a sudden we're implementing drugs tests for drugs that we don't know if it's performance enhancing and not within the context of esports. We are assuming that players are taking drugs to enhance their performance. We're not even making a distinction between recreational stuff. We're going to adopt the WADA doping list. I mean, the whole thing was a fucking mess as far as I was concerned, and it's not something I necessarily support until I think further study has gone into what constitutes, you know, what constitutes a performance-enhancing substance. But this is like a classic kind of ESL move to just grab a cheap headline. Let's pretend there's a problem. Let's say there's a problem. And then let's offer the solution very briefly after it. Now, if you look in the frequently asked questions, this in and of itself is kind of, you know, alluded to, if not admitted, in the very first one. Why are we doing this? And it says, over the past year, there has been increased concerns from players, personalities, and fans in the CSGO community about the possibility of cheating at LAN events in Counter-Strike. While organizers have put protocols in place to help prevent cheating, we now have the ability to leverage the most effective online anti-cheat tool available and add an extra layer of security in the LAN environment. Well, you always had that. You always had that capability. You've always had the ability to run your anti-cheat and make it a requirement at your LAN events. In fact, I think if I remember correctly, ESEA have done this at previous LANs and just not made a big deal about it. The anti-cheat technology was running in the background. So it begs the question why it hasn't happened in the past. Like, what is the point of developing an anti-cheat? And you can see we're moving, you know, sure, we've got all these, you know, there's still some online leagues going on, but why wouldn't you make it a requirement at LAN as well? Why wouldn't it just be the rigor? You know, it's very odd. And then it goes, will you actually give it to any tournaments that meet your basic requirement? And you say, yes, the ESEA LAN anti-cheat will not be exclusive to ESEA or ESL events. Instead, any organizer that meets the basic requirements, we keep hearing basic requirements, don't know what they are, can apply to use technology. We encourage both players and the community to request that their favorite tournaments use the new anti-cheat technology. So now they're putting it on the players to effectively police themselves, to go out and say, hey, look, we want a cheat-free environment. Please use this anti-cheat technology, which, again, we don't know much about. A lot of people are assuming it's a placebo. I guess we'll wait and see. What happens if you catch someone cheating? While we hope this never happens, we will work closely with all tournament organizers to ensure that we have a plan in place should a user be found to be cheating on LAN. This may include pausing a match to verify data or quarantining hardware with the support of the tournament organizer. That's a very interesting deflection, in my opinion, because surely the only answer to this is you just said, well, obviously we're gonna ban the fuckers. I mean, you should have a very clear penalty in place. This is talking more about the mechanics of what you would do in the middle of a tournament if you caught someone cheating, which also implies that something doesn't flag up. It's like it's private; the viewer would never see. It's very strange to me. Like, obviously, we've seen, you know, Emilio when he got VAC banned in the middle of a tournament. Something like that should happen. I think the idea that, oh, we get flagged over here and it's completely up to us, how does that inspire confidence in the viewer that it's being policed? There's already conspiracy theorists out there who I find ridiculous characters, frankly. But there's already conspiracy theorists out there that say, we're all working together with Valve. People like me, Valve, tournament organizers, we all know players are on the gear. And we've told them, like, don't make it blatant. Don't make it too blatant because we don't want to catch you because we all want to make money from this, right? And it's gibberish. It's absolute nonsense. Or if such a conspiracy exists, unfortunately, I'm not included in it. I'm not deemed important enough to be included in the conspiracy. Obviously, right now, Sam, everyone's going, that's what you would say if you were in the conspiracy.
That's exactly what you would say if you were, though.
No, and they're right. I would say that if I wasn't the conspiracy, but I'm not, because there isn't one. But, you know, the whole point is it should come up immediately. Like, wah, this cunt's having a toggle. Wah, you know, people should get fucking wrecked. Quite publicly so. Anyway, Few is the guy who, a chap called Brett Sheffield. He's the guy who wrote it up, made the announcement, first post in the thread. He's like, now that's progress. I mean, it inarguably isn't progress. I'm going to tell you what progress is. Progress is where you take an idea or a thought and it evolves and it becomes something that it wasn't before. This could have always happened. So this isn't progress. This is now the application of common sense. So let's look at the next point that I wanted to bring up. And again, keep in mind, we've already heard about this technical test that there were. Brett Sheffield on Twitter tweeted this. This is, get ready. None of the teams were aware of the ESEA LAN anti-cheat before the announcement. We feel it would be unfair to surprise them with this on day one. So they announced their anti-cheat in advance. Announced they were going to use it at this tournament and understand what, you know, the point of an anti-cheat is that you don't really know how it works when it's scanning you, because if you give away this information, obviously cheaters will be cautious. And the whole point is you don't want them to be cautious. You want them to be reckless so you can catch them. It would be like a police force coming out and saying, we're doubling up patrols in this neighborhood today because there's been a spate of break-ins. So, you know, burglars, watch out, right? It would be stupid. It would defeat the object of what you're trying to achieve. So naturally, you know, people have rightly pointed out how ridiculous this is, including Fallen from SK Gaming. Who, you know, was very vocal saying, why have you done this? You know, if you want to catch people cheating, then you should surprise them. You should spring it on them. And I think everybody feels this way. I certainly feel this way. A lot of pros feel this way. Now, here's an interesting thing. There was a good question by my colleague and friend, Dust Moret. And he asked, what makes this anti-cheat different from the current client that was used at ESEA LANs and online for ESEA? No answer to that, of course, which implies to me that it's the same old shit. And this is just, we're packaging it. We are packaging it as a solution to this problem that we're now acknowledging exists. And it's all, if the problem is a problem, it's always existed. And this is almost like a tacit admission that, yeah, we probably should have done this sooner, really. So it's a bit of a strange announcement. And certainly the latter half of the discussion about not wanting to surprise players is very, very strange indeed. Now, I will say, I don't know if they felt they had to announce it or whether they were legally compelled to announce it because of past transgressions. And people are going, what do you mean, Richard? What on earth could you mean? Well, those of us who are in possession of a memory and those of us who have been in the scene, you know, past a certain amount of time will, of course, remember ESEA and their Bitcoin mining scandal. I wrote a lengthy article about this. I was one of the first esports journalists to pick this up, and I, you know, did notify mainstream media and tried to push it out there after an ESEA forum post showed that their client had been converted into a Bitcoin miner without anybody being notified of it. This went to court. ESEA, in particular LP Kane, tried to defend the indefensible. It's one of the most egregious and disgusting abuses of consumer trust I've ever seen in anything, not just esports. And it's why I would never financially support ESEA. I don't care who owns them. It's great LP Kane isn't there anymore because, frankly, he's a just a joke, just an awful person. But you know, I think I almost wonder if they've got to tread this line and notify people as a result of what came out of their court ruling, which was that they weren't allowed to make any similar transgressions, or they would have to pay a very sizable deferred fine. Now, if you remember, and this was, I believe, last year, when ESEA said they wanted to increase the anti-cheat provisions, this is when LP Kane was still there, players did push back and say, well, why would we agree to that when we cannot trust your client not to be doing sketchy shit in the background? And obviously, this came out in court, again, in the court transcripts, which you can go and find for yourself. I'm not going to include them in this video because it is old news and not a reflection, I'm sure, of ESEA's direction as a company now. But I almost wonder if they are just playing it very cautiously as a result of that ruling and making it very, yeah, hey, guys, we're using this piece of software here and it's not going to mine Bitcoins, honest. We're not going to fuck you up. We're not going to violate our agreement. Please don't fine us again, courts, because those $1 million fines do certainly hurt. But for me, this is a huge missed opportunity to really instill some confidence in the viewer. Because if you were to run this software in the background for games over like the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 tournaments, and you catch nobody, and then you come out and you say, guys, all the people who were worried about all these aim locks or alleged aim locks, we actually had this program running in the background. That's a very good piece of anti-cheat software. And we ran it for 4 tournaments and we had no flags whatsoever. All of a sudden, that's a very different perception about what's happened. Now, sure, you won't grab cheap headlines. Sure, it won't make you look like the wonderful all-conquering industry leaders. Hey, look, we're here to fix a problem. You will have to defer that gratitude from the community. But once it happens, the message is way more impactful. And of course, there is always the chance that you might have caught somebody in this interim period. Now, here's what's going to happen. So I know about anti-cheat and cheat coders and everything. I talk to a lot of cheat coders whenever this sort of issue comes up. And here's what's going to happen. Any pro who was cheating is now going to know when we go to these events, it's definitely not worth risking it. They're going to inform their private cheat coder of it. The private cheat coder is going to try and get a copy of this software and decompile it and find out how it works and then update their private cheat accordingly, or just straight advise that you can't use it at these tournaments. And you have effectively neutered and diminished your actual anti-cheat measures. So it does seem a little bit absurd. And I'm very perplexed as to why anyone would do this if it wasn't due to that court-mandated issue that I brought up earlier. That said, I think we can at least take some hope, some positive from it, because of the technical test at New York, which, again, sources told me they did just run it in games, in certain games. But, you know, nobody was caught there either. Now, whether this will be enough to start bringing the community back to planet Earth, obviously, we're still seeing the rise of the Vax Sucks subreddit. We're still seeing the rise of conspiracy theorists. We're still seeing, I'd say, on our weekly basis, a handful of threads cropping up on major forums like HLTV, CSGO subreddit, where people are saying they've got no confidence in the competitive scene because they believe that pros are cheating. And while this is a good countermeasure, it's one that could have happened a lot sooner. It's one that could have been handled in a more impactful messaging way, even if ultimately it would have achieved nothing. And certainly this doesn't feel like the solution to a problem I am yet to be convinced exists. Anyway, those are my thoughts on the issue. I don't know if you agree. If you do, jump down at the bottom and let me know. If you disagree, you can do the same. But until then, I will see you on the next video. Take care.